Rockstar Podcast, episode 33. We talk about Tony, according to Mariano. We discuss Lorenzo's discussion on the Bellcast about raising your prices. And we go into a conversation about logo branding and how marketing may or may not be as important. Lorenzo Mariano, episode 33, coming up. Welcome to the Rockstar Podcast, episode 33, and the bars just went flying up and up and up and up. So we went from potentially having five people here today.
Just the two of us.
As if I didn't think he was going to go right into it. So we just discussed a bunch of stuff. We're on Instagram Live. Not that when you hear the podcast, you'll know that because it will have happened. But you should know that for future under Screaming Lunatic. That we go on Instagram Live. Sometimes we go on Facebook Live. I have this feeling that we're going to have to figure out something to do with the Rockstar Podcast on Instagram. But then I'm like, I keep holding out because I'm like, it's going to be pointless. It's going to be pointless. And I don't create an account. Mm-hmm. But since you wanted to go back to Instagram, maybe you should do the Rockstar Podcast instead of me doing all the heavy lifting for the past 9 years. I mean, Tony at least edited the videos. You just showed up in pants.
And you should be happy that I showed up.
And speaking to the microphone, first-time podcaster, because, you know, you're over there.
Go ahead. All right, you want me to adjust my
No, you're fine.
Position?
Just keep talking. You're fine. Oh, Jesus. That's great on audio.
I'm sure.
We don't care.
Okay, I'm good. So how are you today, Lorenzo?
Wait, I just asked you a question.
What did you ask me?
I asked you, will you take over the Rockstar Podcast on Instagram?
Sure.
Would you?
I will, yeah.
So if I create the account, you will post stuff.
I'll post stuff, yes. I'll post stuff. And then if I do a terrible job, then you can just take it over.
You're like the dude that is on the commercials. The guy goes to the gas station.
You know, I'll use it as an opportunity for me to learn how to Instagram.
Well, you should not use this as an opportunity as a sales pitch to your clients who you're saying you do social media for.
I don't do social media for my clients. We have another service that does social
media. See, that's the advantage of being... Oh, Sean's here. So we just started our podcast and we're trying to figure out the fan, and I was yelling at you, and not you, but I was saying, how long is Warren going to talk to him about poodles? Do you see the fan? This is going to be on the podcast, Sean, straight up. I don't edit shit. So, do you see the fan?
I see the fan.
Do you know how to shut the fan off?
I know how to either shut the fan off or disconnect the fan.
No, do not disconnect it now or ever, because they will probably need it in the summer. But if there's a way to shut it off...
Oh, we could disconnect it and reconnect it for the summer. There's the winter fan, there's the summer...
Sean, why don't you be on the podcast for 20 minutes? We'll have fun. Come on, sit down. Come here. You're sitting down. Come here.
I gotta go move tenants.
Okay, that's how you get rid of Sean.
Tenants.
All right, Sean. Sean is in charge of all our offices.
This is my first cameo. Continue. On the next time with Sean.
Sean, the longer you delay, the harder the questions get, and they all come from me.
You don't want that.
But you still give me a softball question here and there, though.
Yes. So when are you getting married?
Oh,
there we go. See you later, Sean. See you later, Sean. Okay, so this is the shitcast, clearly. All right, so you made some notes.
I did make some notes.
But I looked at the notes that Tony wrote in the document that I created.
The note.
The note, singular, as in it says voiceovers, and I wrote it.
Did you really?
I'm the one that wrote that. Yes, he did not write it. I figured, you know, like how you try to push the bird out of the nest. And I'm like, maybe. I don't even think he thinks the document exists.
Maybe. I don't know. Do you want me to set up an invite, a weekly invite to podcasting?
No, Jesus Christ, no. I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, come on. You know what the problem is? I took him off the editing hook.
Uh-huh.
And now... he's getting like bougie cameo and he just shows up like the talent and he's just like, okay, I'm here,
like,
guys.
You were accusing me of doing just like 2 seconds ago.
Well, yes, but you
when I got
he at least has a backlog of editing podcasts for years where you just showed up on episode one.
I thought you enjoyed having me on the
podcast. I do.
That's okay.
I do, but like, you know, I just figured at one point somebody would be like, hey, Lorenzo, let me get a guest.
Yeah, I did the original website.
Have you gotten any guests for the... Have you got? You did not. You hosted it. I did it. Well, hosted it. Are you kidding me?
I wrote content. I know I wrote content.
Your own bio.
I did.
This is ridiculous. Have you ever gotten one guest?
Yes, Mark.
The lawyer.
No, I got the lawyer. Yeah. I got Mark... Mark Picard.
You got Picard, and you got the other dude, the one with the ponytail. Americon.
Yes.
Okay, Americon. You got three.
Yes.
I would go out on a limb to say that Tony has gotten zero guests. It looks like he gets guests because I get people from the wedding world. So Tony needs to get a guest. Okay. And it cannot be Jason, and it cannot be Mike Walter. It has to be a guest. I want a guest.
Okay.
Tony, you have to get a guest.
There's pressure.
I mean, I had a pretty... I got a Gary Vee.
I know. Well, you got some very...
The CFO
very
of Wedding
guests.
Wire, Sonny.
Sonny was a great guest.
Yes, he was. And today was supposed to be Carl Banks of the New York Giants, and we have to reschedule.
Now, the question I have for you... Well, the question I'm going to have for Carl when...
Yes. Well, let's talk about what question you were going
to
ask him.
Maybe it won't be directly to Carl, but... In terms of, like, I know he's an ex-New York Giant. I think that's great.
Asked a question. He does
podcast,
not hear.
Relative to the business podcast, where were you going to go with that?
With the pod? Well, he's the vice president of Starter Jackets.
Okay.
He owns G3 Fashion. Okay. He's also affiliated with the new NFL AAF league with one of the Mavericks.
Heard about that. Yeah.
Like... That those three business ventures alone are individual episodes.
Mm-hmm.
He is not part of the Crunch Bunch, which I really...
I made a mistake. Yeah, that was my mistake.
That was... I got to tell you, for a second, I was shocked that you came up with that because I think of you as doing your due diligence,
mm-hmm.
and you were so off on that.
Well, the problem was that I was reading at... 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah, but any football person over the age of 35, if they don't affiliate him with Big Blue Wrecking Crew...
Right, Big Blue Wrecking
Crew. Like, I can tell you plenty of stuff about the Patriots without being a Patriots fan.
But you're talking to a guy that's not...
Yeah, but you went and did the research. You didn't do it off of memory. You went and did the research.
Right.
And the picture had the four LT...
No, anyway. There was no picture in what I was looking at.
So what'd you do? Type in Carl Banks and Crunch Bunch?
Well, no. I went to the Carl Banks...
Wikipedia
page. Yeah. And then I started going to, like, the external links. And I went to Big Blue Wrecking Crew, which then referenced the Crunch Bunch.
Is this another department in Avaliant that you don't cover? Research and development? What do you
do
there?
It was 12 o'clock at
night.
Yelling,
12 o'clock? You and I have been up working separate houses till 2 in the morning with 5 hours of sleep for 10 years.
Yeah.
Midnight for you and midnight for me is like...
Is like start time.
It's like 8 in the afternoon. 8 in the afternoon. I've never heard anybody say 8 in the afternoon. Okay. So I have another podcast going on.
Yes.
Which I do on Fridays called The Bellcast.
The Bellcast.
Which is the unsanctioned version or non-sanctioned or whatever the phrase
unofficial.
Is. Unofficial. Unofficial of, I was getting it wrong, of the Bell Works where we're in, where me, Mike, and Kevin, two mm-hmm. other guys that are here, discuss Bellcast stuff, Bellwork mm-hmm. stuff.
Yep.
And we discuss the last episode, which we do on Fridays at 11, we discussed raising your prices.
Right.
And you listened to that episode.
I did listen to
that episode. And I did think the subject line, raise your prices, is eventually, in the long game, going to play out as a enticing episode for people to want to listen to that are not mm-hmm. familiar with us, because mm-hmm. that's like a big thing for them.
Yeah.
So from here on in, every episode of Rockstar Podcast is going to be called
Raise Your Prices.
Raise Your Prices, episode 742.
Right.
Okay, so you listened to it. Hopefully it was not at midnight.
No, it was. Okay. It was not.
I need to know, give me this, like, what made you go to it? I need to know.
What made me go to it? Well, first of all, it's a podcast that
First of all, I posted everywhere for a half hour straight on every social media platform.
It's another podcast that you do. I'm interested in what you're doing outside of Rockstar Podcast, and I figured I would listen to it.
Did you want to know if I would mention you?
No, I didn't.
It wasn't
honestly,
about that?
Because
if you did a podcast, I would listen to it, but I would expect to be mentioned in every episode.
Oh, you would probably be mentioned in
some
any podcast
level.
That I...
Yes.
It's hard not to mention
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's always great to know that.
No, the reason why... I try to go for a walk every day and it's more of kind of like a downtime.
You do this at night, thoughts. I thought.
Yeah, it's mostly at night. This one I happen to do during the day, but and one of the things that I'll do is I'll listen to different podcasts. I listen to How I Built This, which you guys mentioned actually on that last podcast.
Yeah.
I listen to TED Radio Hour. I listen to TikTok Y'all, which is another one that I really like. And then this one happened to come up when I was going for my walk on Saturday, and I wanted to listen to it because I saw the Raise Your Prices.
It was that. Okay. Good.
And I started listening to it. And first of all, it was a great discussion about Raise Your Prices, raising your prices. I could not believe that there's a person out there that's charging $18,000 for a local redesign.
He was charging $18,000.
I thought
you were going to say you couldn't believe that Lorenzo could actually hold a regular conversation at a podcast because I don't do it here.
But I got from you that, you know, you feel that it's contextual, like what your prices are contextual, and that, you know, it's.
The gurus out there, this dude and other people who I follow all the time, like Gary Vee. Too many times I see clips, and the answer. And Gary doesn't do it as much, but he has done it. The answer is always raise your prices.
Right.
And it just it comes with no nothing behind it. It's just right. Like, oh, just raise your prices.
Right.
It doesn't always work that way.
I agreed with you to a certain extent, but I wanted to kind of go a little bit deeper into that because one of the things that we do every year is we look at, like, raising our prices is a last resort because we work on a subscription model for a couple of our services.
And, yeah.
You know, we want to be able to...
You just pull services away from them?
No.
Can't get this year.
No, the way we look at it is we try to configure the services, make sure that we're working efficiently, you know, if we're expending too many resources on a specific project, so on and so forth. But at a certain point, we do have to raise our prices. And it's not without, like, a lot of thought process behind that. So I want to make sure that I understand what you're saying in that, yes, absolutely, contextualize your prices, but also I think you do, at a certain point, have to look at it and say, okay, this... Because everything is going to cost you more eventually.
Okay.
So you have to consider that in terms of when you're defining your price.
I'm going to send you and Tony the video, because the video we're talking about is a designer who takes on... I don't know the true backstory of it, but he takes on a young lady who has a design studio with a couple employees.
Yeah, and, you were talking about that. Oh.
The one video... So he spends an hour with her, and it's like raw. They sit there and they talk to each other, and he questions her everything about her business. And to her credit, she is, you know, she's getting Band-Aids ripped off of her in front of the camera because she's learning right there. And I remember those days. But at one point, he talks about how she's at X price-wise, and he's like, raise your prices. So there is some content behind it, but... I'm going to send you both the video to watch, and then on our next episode when Tony's back, we'll do a full raise your price layout type thing, but we could still continue to touch on it.
But in your opinion, are you of the opinion that it's always bad to raise your prices? And maybe it's
I don't different. Think you should raise your prices just because you think you should raise your prices.
Okay.
Like you said, and I'm going to say this out of respect, you said annually we look at our prices. Mm-hmm. Who told you that? Why can't I? And I don't mean it in that way. I understand that you're more of a group of people, so you have to function in quarterly budgets and all that type of stuff. But I just think that sometimes people are like, it's slow, or I should have done it for more. You can raise your prices, but I just think sometimes people just use that as an answer to justify the fact that they're not making enough money.
Well,
when they don't look at themselves and say, could I diversify with more services?
Right.
Could I be better?
Right.
Could I incrementally? And I think part of it is just the texture of the phrase, raise your prices, makes people automatically not say that, hey, if my product value is $1,000, raise my prices, maybe I should go to $1,300.
Right.
It's raise your prices $1,000, go to $4,000.
Right. No. And that
it's like clickbait for video and audio. And I just think it's just like it's too quick of an answer. In some cases, it's correct.
Right. I think I wanted to establish what your thoughts were behind that. Because even for me, yes, I have to look at it every year because, like I said, we're a subscription-based model. So, you know, there's...
But you're incremental.
And it's incremental.
Right.
It's,
if you're at $80, you might go to $88, right?
Correct.
So that, but that's also with...
So like...
And I think what I see it is, I see it more so with individual peoples.
Yeah.
That it's said. And I don't want to make it overblown, like it's said all the time is the answer, but it's said often enough
right.
that I've noticed it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And like I said, you know, I think for me, because we're subscription-based, you know, if we go from, let's say, $80 to an $88, $8 doesn't per month doesn't sound like that much, but we may have 100 clients doing that. So, you know, yeah. And again, it's something that we take very seriously and that, you know, we may not have raised our prices for 3 to 5 years before that. But now we're looking at it and we're like, okay, we've kind of made this as efficient as we can.
Right.
Now we need to raise our prices.
Maybe it's more the fact that it's not about the actual action of raising your prices. It just seems like, one, it becomes just a quick fix. Like, you raise your prices, now all of a sudden you're going to get more clients, or you're going to justify what you have. But not even that. It's like I said, I feel the texture of it and the tone of it is not to raise your prices within reason. It just seems like it's, you're charging $2,000, go to $6,000.
Right.
Like, why would you not?
Right.
Like, I'll be honest, I'm as a designer and a logo thing, mm-hmm. I understand big brand stuff. And I understand at high level, like Budweiser, like what IHOP did with the thing.
Right.
Like, that involves hundreds of thousands of people.
Right.
And millions upon millions of dollars. So the weight of that creative process deserves a really high price.
Right.
But when you're talking about companies who are in the Fortune 1000, for instance, 30, 40, 50, 60,000, I think people just, I think designers and developers uh-huh. sometimes just throw out numbers.
Yeah.
Based on what they think the client is.
Well, and I think one of the other things.
And the client says yes to it. So that's how the right. vicious circle happens, where right. you have one company who says, basically, I'm going on assumption here, but let's say their branding all in is $60,000.
Right.
The logo.
Right.
Like, $60,000?
For a logo. I know. Well, what that makes sense to me. So, like, let's say you're $60,000 for a logo and you're spending, let's say, even at worst case scenario, 100 hours on it.
My next bagel shop, you know, that calls me, I'm going to be like $60,000.
But here's the thing that I think was interesting.
They said yes.
That also came up. I don't know. I don't remember if Kevin mentioned it or who else actually did it. But I think value is also an important thing to look at when you're determining the price for a project.
Value is extremely important. So I just think that sometimes I'll let you go back. The value sometimes gets intertwined with the fact that you have to justify paying for 6 employees, mm-hmm. and it blends into that, where of those 6 employees, 4 of them are not even going to touch the project, or 3 of them are not going to touch it. So I think you start paying right. for your own fatness, in a sense.
That's possible. I can see that argument. I can definitely see that argument. And there, look, I try to be fair when I'm pricing out a project. And I also try to look at it from a perspective of, look, if, you know, this person is asking me to do all this stuff, what's going to be their return on their investment? Realistically, what's going to be their return? If they spend all this money and their sales are going to jump by 20%, is my cost covered by that increase in sales? Is it break even, or is it going to be highly profitable for them to do this project? If the answer is highly profitable, then I don't feel bad about asking for a fair price. Now, that's not saying I'm going to gouge the customer, but I'm able to justify what that price means.
Well, like, I also think it goes on levels, right? Like a company like Blind Design, they have so many players in their agency
yeah.
that big clients are going to them.
Right. And they have talent, too. Like, they
attract the talent. No, the talent has right? to be there. We have to go right. with that. That's an assumption, right? I have to go with the assumption that the talent is there. But, like, Gary, if you go to Vayner as a client, you're starting at $1 million mm-hmm. on a marketing campaign. And that doesn't include the $4 million that he's going to require you to spend on all your advertising.
Right.
So if you're going to him, you're $5 million, right? So he's obviously going to attract the big brands.
Right.
Because they have the budget, right? Whereas you and I, once in a blue moon, you know, we get a big client or whatever right. like that, and it happens relative to us.
Right.
So that's why, like, it's like I could continue to do it by myself and make my income, or I could hire four people, mm-hmm. get a higher level client, but then it gets offset by paying three other people.
Right.
And then you get to seven people, and right. then you get to 10 people, and the next thing you know, your agency sucks because you're trying to run the wheel to save, to cover costs, mm-hmm. and the talent or the level of talent is not there. Right. It disappears. Agency after agency I have seen disappear because they get to that point where they don't know what to do when they have 10 people, and they don't know how to handle the fact that they're no longer a designer. They're in charge of the 10 people, mm-hmm. and it becomes hard for them. They start overpricing and overcharging. Or charging more and more, and it drives the price up for everybody.
Yeah, and what ends up happening is maybe you're getting a different caliber, a different type of client. And I don't want to say caliber because that's not.
And also this other notion that the logo is the be all end all is horseshit to me. Right. I can make the best logo in the world. If you don't use it, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like I could tell you that marketing pieces that I've done for clients have given them way more in sales than the logo I did for them.
Right.
More. It's just this logic of we're a design agency. You need to have your logo. It's got to be set. And then from there, it'll be great. No. And then they drop the ball on all this other shit.
Right.
Like the marketing pieces, if you're going to do print or any kind of marketing, it just disappears. Like and for me, the marketing part is I can make any marketing work with any logo, but I can't make any logo work with shitty marketing.
Yeah, yeah.
So this concept of the logo is the big thing, $50,000, and then we go. It just doesn't make sense to me. I think it's just like it's like the shiny object in the room.
I think again, it's context. You know, the logo is the big thing if you're the big company. Like the logo,
if it's going everywhere, yes.
You know, if you're a smaller company, like if you're the
yes and no, but UPS logo, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what the new UPS logo looks like? Do you know the difference between the old one? I'm not trying to.
No, I haven't seen it.
But you do know the marketing part, a brown truck.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like,
right.
The logo is, you know, the shield. But the difference is from the top part had the gift, like, bow tie, and now the other one has, like, a more of, like, a glistening shield.
Okay.
But if you don't see the brown truck, right, the FedEx logo, you know, the
arrow.
Yeah, the arrow inside there, right? But nobody knew that was the case. Right. But you know if you saw the blue-orange, you know it was FedEx. So that's why I think you need to have a logo as a mark. Mm-hmm. But I don't think if it was me, I'd be like the logo would be not 25,000, it'd be like 9,000. But your marketing, where I'm using my brain and putting that stuff in, that's where the money comes in.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the stuff that's going to get your logo to the client. But too often designers are just like the logo, and it's like, guys, if the logo doesn't get used, if it doesn't get done well, who the fuck cares?
Right. Yeah, well, and that's I think that's ultimately you know, we're focusing on the logo. I think that is
your logo changed.
It did multiple times.
Did any of your clients call you up?
No.
You change your pricing or your marketing on your website?
No.
If you do, your client might call you.
Yes.
So absolutely. Mark and brand is important, but once it's done,
I agree with you.
It's everything else that gives the client the ability to see your stuff. Mm-hmm. So I get. It's just this cultivated thought process that designers learn that it's the logo is the holy.
I think the logo also is.
Mind you, I have the greatest fucking logo in the world.
Yeah.
All right. So I mean, I haven't changed it. And I have 100 versions of it.
Right.
And I could change it, and I don't. You know why? Because the marketing, screaming lunatic.
Right.
I just wanted that name so people would remember it. That's it.
Right.
Go ahead, make your joke.
No, I was
In the old Friends thing.
I think the logo is a very I can't remember what my point was going to be.
In general?
I think the thing with the logo, and I think the way that you manipulate it is that logos can be very personal. They can be very, you know, they're very visceral.
Yeah.
In terms of how they represent a company. So I don't think from a consumer standpoint you're changing much if you change your logo. But it's
you know who did the best logo change temporarily was IHOP.
Oh yeah.
Because they drove the hell out of marketing because people lost their mind.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't make burgers, you make pancakes. Yes, right. You make burgers, but I come, you know. And the funny part is that 80% right. of the people that go there don't get the pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
They treat it like a diner. But people lost their shit.
Yeah.
By the way, the best ad campaign was Wendy's throwing shade at McDonald's, or Burger King throwing, where you went to Burger King and the Waze app told you to go to McDonald's around the corner to get the Burger King coupon code. It was something like that, yeah. So, but that's marketing.
Oh, yeah, that's marketing. That's the more kind
of... The value on the marketing sales part, whatever it may be, whether it's website, print, whatever it may be, to me is just... I'll take a client who has a shitty logo and lets me go all in on all the marketing over the client who's like, I need to have the logo and the marketing, you know, is half-ass.
Yeah.
This doesn't work.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I think the marketing needs to talk to the people. The logo is much more, what's the word I'm looking for?
You have been searching it for about 8 minutes now.
Yeah, I know, and I can't believe I can't find it.
You want to do like flashcards or something?
Yeah,
like word association? Or something. Okay.
That's fine. Whatever. It's gone.
Okay, so...
We're moving on.
great, because we're done.
Yeah.
But the next episode, we're going to continue this conversation. I'm going to send you the video, and we're going to do a full raise your prices type with Tony.
Okay.
Because Tony deals with that kind of stuff a lot in his industry, in the wedding-specific DJ world, where... and limo companies deal with it to the nickels and dimes, where they compete with each other. So... I'm sure he'll have an interesting take.
No, I'm sure he'll have... Well, the thing is that we all work in different industries, and that's why I think this conversation is important.
Do we?
Because I don't...
I overlap in yours and
well,
his.
Well, you overlap in
both of them, yeah.
But I'm saying, like, my customer base is... Like
different said, than mine. You're a subscription model. Subscription yes, model. I'm project-based.
You're project-based.
Tony is event-based.
Tony is project and event-based.
Yes.
So I'm saying that we have different... Like, my take on raise your prices, like I said... You know, there's much more justification, and that's why I think it's important to have this discussion because not everybody is going to have the same kind of perspective as you do or as
well. They would be wrong.
But I agree.
He's going to expand because now he's really pushing Drophouse, which really falls into a cross between the two of us, where he's doing stuff like voiceovers, like we're talking about doing stuff for like audiobooks and things like that, like more on the corporate side. So that's project based. And then he also has his drops and whatnot, which is more incremental, smaller bases. But I'm going to see if I can get him to... We can see if we can talk to doing a subscription model.
Right.
Where he sends out one every month for events, and you pay with a 1-year retainer.
Like a cheaper fee.
Yeah, because look, these DJs have nothing to do. During the week? No, not him. I'm talking about like the ones that are like in Boise, Idaho.
Right.
They're not doing anything. They're like, they get a drop from Tony, and they're like, you know, woo! All right, episode 33 in the can, Bellcast Friday. You want to be on it again? Nope. Okay, good. See you soon. Bye.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen that are still paying attention, ego is the word that I was looking for.
There you go.
Logo.
This is the bonus track at the very end when the credits roll and Mariano has his name and then it's
logo,
a random.
Well, my point was logo is more for your ego than it is for what. Your customer seat.
I can't believe you brought this topic up because now we have to go like 40 minutes longer, but what do you mean logos for your ego?
Well, I mean, I'm saying that yes, logos are important to a certain extent, but they're also part of your ego because of how you want your company represented to your client.
Do you want this microphone as your logo? For your ego?
No.
Okay.
But do you disagree?
I don't disagree at all. I just don't agree. I don't know, like, ego. Like, I think that people want a logo or own a business out of ego, and it's usually the ones that fail really quickly because they don't understand it.
Right.
But I don't associate logo with ego.
Hmm. Okay.
Right? It doesn't, to me, it doesn't associate with it. I mean, like, how does my logo have to do with ego?
It's, and it's,
you have to have an ego to want a logo and have a business. I get that on some level.
But I'm saying, if you're changing your logo every couple of years, like we did, part of it is how it's ego in that it represents us. We feel like it represents us. As far as the client is concerned, they just, you know, maybe it's something recognizable. Maybe it's something that
here comes the ego. Ready? You ready? You ready?
Yeah.
Here comes the ego. My clients don't change their logos ever.
Fine. Your clients don't change their logos ever. But I'm saying that if you're changing your logo, or your logo is very important to
you. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just don't, I don't see it. I didn't see it that way initially. That's all.
But think about it. Like,
I will accept your logo as an answer. I will now go with your answer. I love you, so I'm good with that.
But if, like, we were talking about hair earlier, right?
But why do we have to go there? Okay.
I'm just saying,
like, I'm growing my hair out.
I don't really think about my hair and or how it is because...
Because you have hair.
It's not important to my ego. Like, it doesn't affect my ego. It doesn't affect how I feel like I'm represented to the world.
Right.
Even people that look at a logo perspective, yes, I am not saying that a logo is not important.
You should ask any woman in the world if what they think about their hair and how they present themselves out there is the way it's that. I know what you're saying. I never saw it that way.
And so
I think of, like, when you say that, I thought of myself of, I honestly, this is where I went, like, North Jersey, Italian DJ, hey, Vinny Boombats, like, I need the fucking logo, bro. That's what I thought of, maybe on a totally, like, shallow type of way.
But if you think about it, there is some element of ego in it.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying I never.
That's all I'm saying.
You've brought me to a new level of enlightenment. Maybe I should go for walks with you.
Yeah, maybe you should.
All right, this is getting weird. This is an addendum to the episode, but
sure.
And I recorded it on the wrong track, and so I'll fix that.
Love GarageBand.
All right, episode 33
and a half,
double canned.